Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
We have a final from American Family Field in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as your Milwaukee Brewers absolutely steamroll the Philadelphia Phillies. Welcome in, everybody, to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin baseball postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. I am not Tim Allen. Tim will be joining us very, very shortly. He will be hopping up to the microphone. He had a fantasy football draft that ran a little bit late tonight, and guys, it's almost time. Fantasy football, we're less than 2 days away from the first game. I know this is the special Brewers season, the Brewers championship season, as Tim likes to say, but football is right around the corner. But either way, this game tonight was an absolute masterpiece from your Milwaukee Brewers. The offense hit hard early and kept going throughout the entire game. The pitching, beautiful, beautiful job from Eric Lauer tonight. Seven shutout innings. Hardly had any trouble the entire night outside of that seventh inning. His sinker was looking good. Everything was looking really good. The bullpen, I mean, what more can you ask for from your bullpen to throw 10 pitches in two innings? That's absolutely incredible. You save everybody for tomorrow night, which could end up being a huge game for not only the Brewers, but the Phillies as well, as they're fighting for their playoff life. But man, I can't get over what an incredible game this was. A day after getting absolutely blown up. Oh, look who it is.
Oh, well, well.
Timmy, thanks for joining us. Thanks for getting here on time.
Of course. It is a final from American Family Field, and the results are good. You can't explain baseball. I don't know how, you know, you go from 12-zip loss to a 10-zip win. I mean, we'll take it. But this was a much-needed victory. I will say that, just because it's against this Philadelphia Phillies team. And, you know, you didn't want to have them with some confidence that you match up really well. And I know you're just, you know, 1-5 in the six games head-to-head thus far, but a pretty important win in my book. I think so. And if I'm not mistaken, Christian Yelich with a three-hit game? Is that what we're seeing here? Wow. Okay, we'll take that. Want to get your reaction, 414-799-1250. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Brewers win 10-zip. And a couple of things here, Evan. We do this pretty much once a year, the last 16 years of doing this show. And it just so happens that we have NFL football starting in about less than 48 hours from right now. Did you realize that?
That's incredible. How? Where has this year gone?
No doubt. 22 games left in the championship season here for the Crew. And they're sitting there at 85 and 55, back to that 30 mark over 500. And I would really love to see them, you know, break a couple of benchmarks here. And I know 100 wins is going to be, a big mountain to climb here. But you would like to see them to get to 32 games over 500, very attainable. That would be a franchise mark. and get to 97 wins in the regular season, again, that would be a franchise mark. So you're dealing with those types of benchmarks here in a season that looking to be pretty special, and we can all understand. How about Eric Lauer tonight? Are you kidding me?
He was incredible. He looked good. All of his pitches were going well. He blew a 91-mile-an-hour fastball by an all-star in JT Realmuto. How does that happen? Well, a 91-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, it's the off-speed stuff that keeps you off a little bit, and that's what it's all about. But Eric Lauer, let's check his ERA now. Coming in 3-4, and with seven scoreless, it is looking now with Luis Urias doing what he's doing this year, and now Eric Lauer starting to show some promise in that Trent Grisham trade. Are you a little? Are we changing our mind as Brewers fans on that trade here?
I feel like I need to formally apologize directly to David Stearns, because I said some not so great things about that trade earlier in the season.
Yeah, maybe, and that's why you need to hold off a little bit on trades. Sometimes it's not for right now. It'll pay off as time goes by, and we might be getting some payoff on that trade right now, so that looks pretty good. So I mentioned less than 48 hours away from NFL football. We'll get to our game recap, a fun one here tonight in a 10-zip victory. But also a fantasy football conversation tonight as well. And again, someone's going to say, no, this is the Brewers post-game show and you're supposed to be talking about. This is keeping with tradition here, that we do talk a little fantasy football. We have Fantasy Football Weekly firing up. Week one of the NFL season is this weekend. And, of course, we'll be one game in Thursday night. Tampa is hosting Dallas to fire up the season. But Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Fantasy Football Weekly returns for the 15th season. Normally, we get like a week or two in advance to break everything down and to just grade your drafts. I was at, I was doing two drafts tonight.
I had one tonight as well.
And so you're juggling these sports balls in the air, and, you know, you try and keep track of everything, but you want to have a fantasy football question? We're wide open. A Brewers conversation, wide open. And really, on the Brewers side of things, guys, I'd like to know, now that we're seeing Christian Yelich be, how can we put it, more than just helping the team win, maybe? Can we put it that way?
I think you absolutely have to put it that way.
It is above and beyond just what Craig Counsell has been saying here for the last month or so, that he's helping us win ball games. There are two guys on this team headed down the stretch here and into the postseason, and really, more specifically, in particular, the postseason, that I think the timing may be absolutely perfect, and that is Christian Yelich and Eduardo Escobar with the power stroke, though. We haven't seen these guys, these two guys in particular, we haven't seen these guys yet hit for some game-changing or big-time power yet. And if they continue to do what they're doing right now, Evan, I think it's just a matter of time before that hits, before they start hitting two- and three-run bombs. You know, Avi Garcia obviously had the two-run shot. We're going to see some of those things out of Christian Yelich and Escobar. I'm convinced of that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's more hopeful than being convinced at all. But my goodness, these two guys, it's just like a ticking time bomb with these two guys. You can just feel it, especially Yelly. I mean, there are barreled balls in abundance here.
Look no more than his double in the eighth inning. It was directly down the left field line. And like we've said this season, he is at his best when he can hit the ball to all fields at all times. Because then how do you play defense against him? If he can spray the ball across the entire field, you can't defend him, and that makes the Brewers' offense that much more dynamic.
Yeah, even his first at-bat was a laser to left for an out. So, I mean, he has been really, really coming around here. And again, we talk about timing. These guys can't be hot with power and or average or slugging percentage the whole season. We all know that. That's just too big of a sample window, if you will. But when they don't do it for a while, you know it's coming with these types of guys, with those types of numbers. Look at the power numbers for Escobar. You know, middle 20s in home runs, knocking in a ton of runs. We haven't really seen that sort of slug out of Eduardo Escobar yet. And I am, you know, again, we're all hopeful that it just busts out at the right time. And it looks like that timing is lining up just perfectly. 414-799-1250, 22,000 plus at American Family Field, just short of 23,000 for this one. And the Brewers, they get the series even at a game apiece. They can take the series, obviously, with a win tomorrow. And, you know, again, there's an off day on Thursday, so it'd be a nice big victory tomorrow. But if you look at the Magic, those of us following the Magic number now, it's at 12. So Reds did get a victory today. I don't think anybody within the sound of our voices is worried about the division. They're going to the playoffs. We've been aware of that for a while now. But now it's just benchmarks, and now it's just getting these guys. And this is the challenge for Craig Counsell. And I've been discussing here the last, you know, three or four shows that he's never been in this situation. The Brewers are not used to cruise control and running away with things. They, you know, 11 games up in a division for the first time ever when they hit that on what, Saturday or Sunday? One of the two. I think it was Saturday. They hit that to the point where they've never, and that seems weird though, doesn't it? They've never had an 11-game lead over the second-place team at any point in any season.
That's shocking.
It is kind of shocking. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's how rare it is because, again, we're not used to this. We're not used to the team just running with things. But, boy, it feels good. Doesn't it as a Brewer fan? I mean, it just does. I went to the draft tonight, and everybody's following the Brewer game. It's sort of a, I don't know if it's a house money game or not. I don't know how you guys look at it. I don't know how you guys look at these games. We talked about, does it aggravate you that the Brewers lose? Even though they're headed to the playoffs, even though they're winning, they're going to win the division, even though they're in the tournament, even though they have a star-studded cast of rotation guys and bullpen guys, and this team has a chance to win the World Series, it still aggravates you. But everyone seemed to be into it at the draft, which was pretty impressive to me.
It's starting to feel a little bit like the Bucks run, too, where I had more family members and friends asking me about the team as we went further and further in. So now I'm starting to get the questions like, are the Brewers legit? Can they make it all the way? And it's a nice change of pace. It feels good to talk about our team like that.
So I'm not only following each pitch of a Brewers championship season here, I'm also wondering if Jameis Winston is going to throw 30-plus touchdowns.
Yes.
I'm also wondering if Justin Herbert is going to follow up with a 31-touchdown rookie campaign with jacking that up to the mid or upper 30s. I really like the Chargers offense. I really do.
There's no weaknesses.
So if you have we do this every year. If you have a fantasy football question, or if you want your team graded out, we've done that in the past before as well. We will wrap up or do the game recap of this 10-0 Brewers victory in just a couple of minutes here. Stick around. 414-799-1250. Brewers get the victory, even up the series at a game apiece. Eric Lauer. And we'll do a little gut check on his numbers after the break here. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove here on The Fan.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on The Fan. Call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
10-zip. Brewers take game two of this three-game set and get back to 30 over 500. Welcome back. Peller Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. There's Evan Heffelfinger. My name is Tim Allen. I was late for work today. I was trying to figure when the last time I was late for work. Years. Maybe 6 years, 7 years. I don't recall it. Maybe twice in 16 years. How in the world would you be late for a job like this? You want to be there. This isn't one of those jobs where, especially this year. Okay, so Craig Counsell has a pretty big challenge. Wouldn't you know it? The year that they're in cruise control, the year that they really could use the expanded roster to really do some resting and getting healthy and things like that, you're forced to go to Hunter Strickland in like an 8-zip game just because your rosters are at 28, not 38,000 like in past years. Which it just figures that would happen. But the question would be, when does Craig Counsell put in his A lineup and just say, hey, go run, go get on a roll, get some steady ABs and things like that? I would think, to answer that question, that came up in a fantasy football draft I was at tonight. So when does he go with, you know, his what he constitutes as his A lineup? And my answer was, I think in about another 10, 12 games. I do. So anyway, you can minimize the workload on some of these guys. But again, as I said yesterday, the day before, consult with these guys. Could talk to each player to see if they want to play. They want to play every day, then you lean toward giving them a little bit more of a lion's share decision. But if they don't and it doesn't matter and they'll do whatever, it's just rarefied air here for Counsell and his coaching staff. But I would say another 12, get it to that 10-game mark, get it a week and a half or so, and then let the horses run. Because you want them, you know, kind of tuned in and dialed up as the postseason hits. October 8th, hey, I know it's a month away, but that's going to come around really quick. I mean, these, as Evan said last segment, it's just flying by. It really is. And so, you know, game one of the NLDS is on Friday, October 8th. And that's going to be here before you know it. And here we are, September, what, 7th today? Yeah. So a month away, but it'll fly in as quickly as you know what. But I will say that, you know, now's not the time if these guys want to play. You know, Colton Wong, some of these guys say, hey, play me every day. And I'll stay on a roll, and I just want to stay with the regimen of playing. Okay, fair enough. You think Christian Yelich wants to come out? What do you do with Christian Yelich? I mean, he's missed a chunk of at-bats this year. He's just getting the barrel stroke going now. There's a guy that I'd totally leave it up to him. But I know the answer. We all know the answer. He's going to say, hey, man, I want to play. All right, 799-1250. We will get to the game recap in just a second. Let's get Mike in here. Mike, you're on the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, Tim, I was a little worried. I didn't hear your voice. I thought you took a night off, but you're not going to miss any more days.
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay, well, you were apologizing for being a little bit of a cheerleader. I'm a little bit of a cheerleader, too. I'm not quite as eloquent as a lot of our callers, but this season is so doggone fun. I can't help myself when the game ends. I just got to call in. Everybody's coming together, and what I want to say about Counsell is, a few years back, I was complaining because they weren't making the other pitchers and bullpens work. They weren't going deep in the counts, but Council had him being a little aggressive, I believe, because that's what he had with players. Now the players are there, and they're making the pitchers work. I don't know what happened last night, but I didn't catch the game. I was sleeping early. But it's awesome. I guess that's all I got to say. I just wanted to cheer a little.
Yeah, yeah, you're good. You're good, Mike. Thank you. Yeah, it is a fun season, and then that's what it's been under Stearns and Council. It's been a ton of fun, especially Council and his player group. I mean, these guys make it fun for us. And again, I will just say I'm just super, super flattered for you guys as Brewers fans over the past 5 years or so, 5, 6, 7 years, how this organization has acknowledged the fans. And you just didn't hear that years ago. You didn't hear that not only here in Milwaukee, but you didn't hear that anywhere around the league. And now you are seeing that sprinkled in throughout the league, but certainly here in Milwaukee, it's pretty impressive. When they can appreciate you guys. Now again, what I heard, in terms of the overall park atmosphere on the Vogel Blast night, that was just amazing. I mean, it truly was amazing to hear that sort of thing, and that's how it is. That's what we've noticed here. We're getting to be playoff professionals here as fans. Because now it's 4 consecutive years into the postseason. That's super cool. That's just not, we have to appreciate that and continue to appreciate that. Super, super cool. Super fun, too. Mike, you're right. It's a fun season. 799-1250. All right, let's get to our game recap. A fun one on this one. We're going to hear from Craig Council. We're going to hear from Eric Lauer as well. First inning, you kind of knew Lauer was going to be on again. 1-2-3. In fact, both teams go 1-2-3. Lauer, 6-up, 6-down, rolling through two-out single by Urias in the bottom of the second, but it stayed scoreless into the third. Leadoff base hit. There went the no-hitter in the third, Eric Lauer. Shame on you. But nothing after that. Bottom half of the third, Lorenzo Cain leads off with a base hit. He gets picked off there, and this is one of the things people say, well, what should Craig Council and these players work on as they're in cruise control with a nice, comfortable cushion within the division? It's that right there. It's Lorenzo Cain getting picked off. It's getting backpicked by Yachty last series. It's getting a couple of outfield assists and runners thrown out on the bases. I mean, those are the types of things that, you see them in the postseason. You don't see multiples in a game. You might see one or two in an entire series in the postseason. That's one thing they need to clean up. This is no longer Ron Renicky test your limits on the base pass. Go to the extreme, and then we'll reel you back in. Just run, 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 run. Gomez, just run till you cross home plate or make an out. That's not what this is now. This is some fine-tuning here. And we're seeing some additional outs on the base pass that just, as some NFL coaches will say, just got to clean that up a little bit. So Lorenzo Cain gets picked off there in that third. Lauer bails him out to a degree with a base hit. Colton Wong then with a double to put runners at second and third with just the one out. It set the table for Eduardo Escobar.
2-2. Escobar in the air, left field, slicing. McCutchen cannot get there. Bounces up into the stands for a ground rule double. That'll score two, and the Brewers strike first.
Boy, what an at bat for Eduardo Escobar. Outstanding work.
Yeah, it's 2-0 at that point, and again, you listen to that crowd. You guys were awesome. 22,000. It sounded like 41,000. That's how into this we get in a special season. That's how into it we get into the postseason. It's a hang on every pitch sort of affair. We do it. The hardcores do it. I would do it anyway, so I would be a hardcore, regardless of this job or not. But we're seeing more and more, and just being in, you know, really lockstep with every pitch at American Family Field, you can just tell. You can just tell the excitement factor. So 2-zip right there on Eske's 2-run double. Well, they weren't done yet in that third inning. Christian Yelich had a bat in his hand.
Yelich, a hot one through, base hit. Escobar will turn. Here's the throw. Escobar is in there. Throw gets away. Yelich on his way to second. 3-0 Brewers. Yelich delivers with an RBI single.
And nice slide by Eduardo Escobar with the hand.
Four hits in that third inning. They played 3 runs, taking that into the fourth inning. 3-zip. One out walk to Bryce Harper. Raced on a double play. Lauer dealing. Now you know he's dealing. Through the 4 scoreless. So Luis Urias gets hit by a pitch to lead off the bottom of that inning. Nothing after that. Stays 3-zip into the fifth. 1-2-3 again for the Brewers left-hander. Brewers do the same thing. 1-2-3 into that sixth inning. Eric Lauer, you're going to hit the wall here somewhere around sixth, seventh inning? Well, let's find out. Yeah, he gives up a base hit, but nothing else in that sixth. Now 6 scoreless if you're keeping track at home. Brewers get to work in the bottom half of the sixth inning. With 2 outs, the inning should have been over. Luis Urias reaches on a drop third, and the Brewers take full advantage of that. Rowdy Tellez to put runners at the corners with that base hit. And Lorenzo Cain works a walk to load him up. Eric Lauer, you're going to play a big, big role in this Brewers victory on the mound and with a bat.
Before he hits with a strike. Now the 3-1, and he lost him. Bases loaded walk to the pitcher, Lauer. 4-0 Brewers. RBI the easy way for Lauer.
Yeah. And nothing really close to Eric Lauer in that at bat.
Yeah, that's Eric Lauer. He had a base hit, a walk, an RBI, and oh, by the way, he pitched well. That might be an understatement. That inning wasn't done yet. And I will say this, that you know, Colton Wong, what an asset to this team. What a signing by Stearns. And he had a big swing there in that sixth inning.
2-2 the count. Bases loaded. And Wong into center field, a base hit. In the score, Tellez. Kane right behind him. And Wong got one of those sliders. Didn't miss it. And the Brewers now lead 6-0.
Well, these guys, they have a pretty good idea what these pitchers are throwing. They realize that he's not throwing a fastball.
Quite the turnaround from yesterday, getting shut out, and they turn right back around. They put up a 6-pack through 6 innings. Lauer back out for the 7th inning. And here's where he got his pitch count up a little bit to the point where, raise your hand if you thought we were going to see 2 complete game shutouts in the span of like 3 days.
And I not from so. One of the big 3.
Yeah, and both of them, yeah, would have been not from the big 3, indeed. But he did work that pitch count up, giving up a leadoff base hit. 1 out later, a base hit, puts 2 aboard, but works out of that jam. 7 scoreless for Eric Lauer as he runs his ERA down to 3.18. Now, again, I don't believe, based on Eric Lauer's prior experience in a Brewers uniform, that anybody thought he was going to do that this year. Maybe David Stearns did. Maybe you guys were prejudging, like a lot of us, that Trent Grisham deal. Yeah, that sent Trent Grisham and Zach Davies to San Diego for Luis Urias and Eric Lauer, but it's really starting to pay off now. In the 7th inning, Christian Yelich, a leadoff base hit, and it set up a big, big-time bomb off the bat of Avi Garcia.
Oh, man, is that one hit? Watch it fly. How far? Oh-ho! Up on the Miller Lite deck. Wow. Booming home run from Avi Garcia. two-run blast. 8-0, Milwaukee.
Yeah, that is amazing. So some of the websites are saying having only 4.25 on that home run.
Yeah, that's what the ESPN notification told me, 425. But to me, that looked 440. That was one of the longest home runs I've ever seen a right-hander hit in American Family Field.
Yeah, I don't know where they come up with those. I guess there's certain points in the park that they can monitor. But, man, what a bomb from Avi. Welcome back into the lineup, Avi Garcia. 8-0 into the eighth inning. Hunter Strickland in for Lauer, and he has a 5-pitch scoreless inning in the eighth inning. You want to get some work in? Well, it wasn't going to happen today for Hunter Strickland. Just 5 throws. Leadoff double for Lorenzo Cain in the eighth inning, followed up by a walk to Daniel Vogelback. And let's see here. One out later. There was a deke by Bryce Harper, but it did play to run off the bat of Eduardo Escobar.
First and third with one away. And Escobar in the right field. That's going to get down. A base hit. Throw to second out there.
That's a bummer.
That's
going to
be, it'll be an RBI, but it'll be a force out at second base.
Man, nobody feels worse than Daniel Vogelback.
Yeah, that was, you know, baseball is now, there's a lot of fans that really don't understand that type of play. Hey, I'm not judging you. It's just some of the nuances in the game of baseball that you just, there's so many games within the game. That was a game within the game because Harper knew exactly what he was doing. Goes down as a fielder's choice to make it 9-0 at that time. Well, they weren't done yet. How about make it a nice round number 10 as Christian Yelich gets his third hit.
Going to overcome the Braves and win the division. There's a base hit. Man, was that pretty. That's going to go all the way to the wall. Escobar out third on his way to the plate. He's going to score easily. And Christian Yelich with a three-hit game. His second RBI. And the Brewers have put a 10 spot on the board tonight.
Yeah, look out. I mean, Christian Yelich starting to feel it.
He really is. And again, as we started the show out, Christian Yelich is... It's got a power stroke coming soon. You just have to believe that, and I certainly do as well. So it's 10-0 there, Miguel Sanchez. Hold on, am I reading this right? Did he throw 5 pitches as well in the ninth?
He did, yeah.
So okay, it's the first time in the modern era in which a home team on a Tuesday night had back-to-back relievers throw 5-pitch innings.
Wow, look at you.
I just totally made that up. See, that's how weird stats can get.
Can I tweet that and credit you?
I always make those stats up. People do believe them at times.
The Allen Sports Bureau is reporting.
Perfect. ASB. Yes. Yes, I'll take that. But so there's your Brewers victory, 10-0 to final. Got to hear from Craig Counsell. If you want to hear Eric Lauer speak, we stick around for that. And if you want to hear yourself talk on the radio, 414-799-1250. As the Brewers get a 10-0 win to even up the series at a game apiece, and now back to 30 games over 500, maintaining the 11-game lead in the division. The magic number now moves to 12 with 22 games remaining. Where does it dial in for the champagne celebration? Let's figure that out next. Let's make an educated guess as to when that celebration and maybe even where that celebration occurs. We'll do that next here, 12:50 a.m. The Fan.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Welcome back, guys. 10-0. Brewers get another victory tonight. They even up the series at a game apiece, and they'll go after the series tomorrow. Just win some series, right? They've only lost one since the All-Star break, so we'll take that. We will get to Craig Counsell. We'll get to a little fantasy football conversation as well. If you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. I was that guy tonight, had two drafts, and so one had to take a little bit of a back seat. And I hate doing this in six leagues this year. I had to auto-draft in one, and it just I try not to make it a habit. The schedule's so busy. It just, you know, my main focus is Brewers baseball. We all know that. There's also always one of your leagues in fantasy football, and the reason we're talking fantasy football tonight is because we do this and keep the tradition going once every summer. We just kind of leading up to the NFL season, just kind of throw in some fantasy football conversation to get you ready for fantasy football weekly in your season. Oh, by the way, your championship season. Fantasy football weekly starts this Sunday at 10 a.m. But, you know, the one league I had to focus a little bit on is my main league, and there's just so much money. There's a lot of money riding on that. So that one station league is our radio station league here is has been going for quite a few years, and you know that's the one I had to I had to mail it in and do an auto draft. Yeah, I know. Call me that guy. I'm that guy tonight. Evan, we'll get to me grading your team. You can grade my team as well in an auto draft. So not particularly pleased with it. Would have done much better than the computer, but hey, who knows? Sometimes in fantasy football, it works for you. Let's get to you guys, 799-1250, listening on the Odyssey app in New York. It's Tom. Tom, good evening. You're on the show.
Hey, thank God for streaming radio stations. I just got to say, you know, I'm 61 years old. I moved to New York when I was 30, and for the first 10 years, I probably could not get any Wisconsin sports. But I have the Odyssey app now, and I listen to it all day.
So. You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Tom. This came up like a month ago, a little over a month ago. As a matter of fact, we were in Vegas having this conversation. It's weird that, and I'm not judging anybody. It's the environment. It's weird when you try to tell those stories, Tom, at your age, and I'm not far behind you, that what did you do back then? And these younger folks, they're like, well, how did you consume
you tried desperately to find the box scores in the New York Times, and there wasn't an ESPN for a while either, but even when there was, they didn't show the small market teams, so it was tough. You know, but I still had family in Wisconsin, and mostly I kept up through my family in Wisconsin. So anyway, I just want to say I'm 61. I've been here 31 years. I've raised two boys here. They were born, they're New York kids, born here. My wife died when they were very young, from ovarian cancer, so we're a very intense relationship. But they, and I didn't like hold their heads underwater or anything, they just glommed onto my Wisconsin sports heritage, I think as a way of connecting with their father. So even though they're New York kids, they're not Yankees or Mets fans, you know? They don't hate the Yankees, they kind of hate the Yankees, but they don't hate the Mets.
Okay.
But, you know, one's 27, one's 24. And they kind of, well, they certainly remember the last years of Brett Favre. I don't know if they really remember the Brett Favre Super Bowl, but they definitely remember the Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we hung the moon when the Bucks won last year.
Oh, yeah.
And, when the Brewers have come back the last few years, you know, New York's full of people from everywhere, and there's a kind of Wisconsin bar down in the village called
Nice.
The Kettle of Fish. You might have heard of it, where their big thing is Packer Sundays, but they will show you know, Brewers games, University of Wisconsin games, whatever. And we're having a great time right now. You know, we're just really, really excited, and my kids have grown up and don't live with me anymore. They live in different parts of the city. But we're just, this has been such a great father-son thing, this run. It's just amazing. And we're all talking about how we're going to watch when they're in the playoffs. Even if, you know, the playoffs will be on TV, we'll probably go down to the kettle of fish or whatever. This is really exciting and wonderful. Yes. For me and my two boys. And it takes me back to, you know, of course, 82 was my year. I was in my 20s then, you know. But my dad used to take me to, in Milwaukee, to Braves games when I was very young. And I don't really remember those.
Right, right.
Know. But my Brewers games, I remember. And there's something about, you know, we shoot the moon on the Bucks winning. That's really exciting. And of course, you know, football is what it is, and it kind of dominates our culture. And we want the Packers to win too, you know. And but there's something about, you know, the length of a baseball season, the way it can be like. Yeah, we had this amazing weekend, you know, with the shutout and then the walk up mm-hmm. home run, and then they lose like some crazy way, and we're still in it, you know.
And no one cares. I mean, that's the thing. Yesterday they get beat 12-0, and it's like, well, yeah, whatever. We'll just come back, play another ball game tomorrow.
Yeah, and the other thing is one of my kids just played Little League, so we are just you know, as a even three guys, you know, old man, dad, 61 and two. And again, I said that they were born in New York. They lived their whole life here. And a lot of it too had to do with them when they went to school, because they'd find, you know, that was kind of, because this is a place where I came here, everybody comes here for work. So, you know, people kind of, that connection to your parents' sports teams is really, really strong. And of course now, I was telling them, you know, well, the Brewers went back to the best logo, the one I remember from the 80s.
Yes.
But my younger son said, but when I went to the game, they were still doing that one with a hop on, and that's the team I remember, so that's the cap I want to wear.
There's you know? Every logo around my house, that any Brewer logo, any Brewer anything. Tom, I could talk to you for an hour. I really could. And I'll leave you on this note. And thanks for the call. I expect to hear from you again, okay?
Yeah, now that I didn't freak out calling a radio station for the first time in my life, yeah, I'll call you again. But, you know, I have to say, thank God for the streaming. I mean, obviously I can't always get the games, but I always, even when I'm just watching the play-by-play on the internet, once it finishes, I always tune to 1250 via what was called the Odyssey right now to hear your recap, and it means so much to me. So,
thank you. I appreciate it,
friend. And you know, this whole small market, big market thing. You know what? It doesn't matter. If I go to a bar in New York City with my Brewers hat, people love it. You know,
that's cool.
They just you know.
That's my, you know, my favorite. I've got two favorite hats. Tom, thanks for the call. We'll talk again. All right. I've got the ball and glove, just with the patch, the good one, the fitted, and it's just pristine, and it just looks so cool. And I've also got the Block M. I think that's kind of a cool, just simple and cool. It just was Brewers anyway. Let me leave you on this, Tom. This whole I know this has been an issue, and that is the five county taxable counties. And I will say this, that I've always said, you know, when people say, well, we shouldn't be taxed for, you know, a billionaire making a bunch of money on a baseball team. Okay, whatever. I look at it a little more selfishly. I look at it as, If he didn't have it here, if Adonasio or Selig didn't have this team here, then you don't get a place, as Tom said, to bring your boy or to bring your family, to bring your wife on a date night, to bring your buddies to go, you know, pound some beers, to go on a tailgate, to go on a group outing. All of those things are off the table. at least we're provided that. And I know, Evan, I take a lot of heat when I say that, because it's always, we shouldn't have to pay for that stadium. That dude's making millions and millions and millions of dollars. He should have to pay for that. Well, it's just, that's the way it is. So just, you're going to pay the additional tax. But the benefit is you got a Major League Baseball team up the road here.
I've always been biased in that. I understand why maybe someone in like Menominee doesn't want to pay for a stadium that they may never go to, but we're so lucky in this greater Milwaukee area to get to go to a first-rate stadium. I mean, it might be one of, if not the best stadiums in all of baseball. We get to watch a team that tries to be competitive every single year, and the past few years they have, but it's a heritage thing. I mean, like Tom was saying right there, it's heritage. Nothing makes me happier than getting to go to the ball field with my grandpa and my dad and just sit there and enjoy a beer with each other. It's in our blood, basically. Now, we're born and raised into baseball, but it is America's pastime. It's us. It is the heritage, and I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Brewers in my life.
I don't know either, and I'll tell you, I've pondered that idea many times. He mentioned the Milwaukee Braves. I couldn't imagine your team just leaving. We've never had that experience.
When we thought the Bucks were going to leave.
Outside of the Braves. But at our age, if the Bucks would have left.
It was scary. I was so scared because that was right after we drafted Giannis. We saw something. Jabari was supposed to be the next big thing. The team had nowhere to go but up, and we almost didn't get a stadium. We almost didn't have a team here. And now, what, 4 years later, 5 years later, they're world champions?
I remember having former NBA commissioner David Stern on a show that I was doing in, I don't know, like 2006, maybe five, maybe somewhere in there. And he had said that the Bucks will stay here 30 more years or whatever it was, 40. I forget what he said. It was in the Journal Sentinel. He was quoted in there as, I don't know if it was earth shattering or breaking news at all, but you know, those are the things you can't put a price on. Guys, you just can't. You can't, to put a price on these types of outings. So, Tom, that's a great point. It really is. To see this from afar and still be in tune. And you're right. The bottom line, just to nutshell this thing, the bottom line is that's the good part of this technology that we're living in these days, is that it does allow guys like Tom, families like Tom, to stay in tune with what's going on a regular basis, pitch by pitch. And I've always said that every professional sports event should be on television and available to you at any time, anywhere, via your phone. So that's pretty cool. 799-1250, we still want to get to Patrick?
Yeah, let's hear from Patrick.
All right, go ahead, Patrick. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Just chilling tonight.
What's that?
We're just chilling tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm still coming off the high from Sunday, so I didn't really care about yesterday's blowout too much. But I'm, about Lauer tonight. I mean, I'm inching closer every day with him and Hauser. The confidence I'm having throwing those guys out on the mound. I think those two really stepped it up because the big three have just struggled a little bit lately, but Tim, that's just, not to go back too far, but I just had to think, just thought the other day, I'm like, what would this pitching staff be like if Jimmy Nelson didn't get hurt in 2017, the role he was on, and the future that he had along with these big three?
The return was nothing on Jimmy Nelson, and that's the thing, so he probably still would have been here. I don't know how much he would have warranted and when exactly he would have been a street free agent, but it would have been probably right about now or last year, I would think, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just he was on a roll when he had that freak injury, but looking forward, I think the the great thing about the Brewers and the lead that they have, the luxury that they have, is, you know, when we get to that last series of the season against the Dodgers, you know, they're in a position, you know, even if they're two games back from having the best record, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. Do we, like, you know, go for it? Because they still have the luxury of having full rest, not playing until Friday mm-hmm. in the playoffs.
True.
I mean, it's, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess
the season ends on a Sunday, and that first playoff game, NLDS, would be that following Friday.
Yeah. So
I think you do yeah. for two reasons. Number one, just because that's just good. That's good for your organization. If you, there's a benchmark to hit, the best record in the NL, or you want to get to 32 plus games over 500, hell, who knows? Maybe things will drop right. Maybe they're going after a 100 win season by then, which is crazy that I even mentioned yeah. that. But it is possible, and it's not that far fetched. And it keeps your guys playing because you want to be tuned up and ready to go, firing on all cylinders. You don't want to just, you know, go an additional, you know, as you said, Patrick, you're going to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday without playing baseball. Well, if you rest your guys in that series, do you want to not play a baseball game for a week?
Yeah, no, I don't. They got to stay fresh. You can't afford in a best of five game series to, you know, just like give one away because you're a little rusty.
Yeah. They'll be in a situation to get the one seed. And again, some people say, well, that's the kiss of death because you're going to have to then face the winner of the wild card, and that could be Giants or Dodgers. And yeah. So what? They got to face us. How does that sound?
Yeah. You got to face them eventually, probably anyways. And a one game wild card, you know, anybody can win that game. It could be the Reds, you know, it could be, I don't know.
Phillies.
It's baseball strange.
Yeah, it is. Patrick, thanks for the conversation. Appreciate that. 799-1250. Brewers win tonight. 10-0 the final. Boy, we're just kind of having this a weird show. Just kind of chilling, right?
Kind of just a weird, wacky Tuesday night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll take it once in a while. I know what I would feel like not working for a week. I don't think players like that. I really don't. I've never specifically asked any player, but to me, unless you're one of these pro pinch hitters, and over the years we've had some in Major League Baseball, you know, the Mark Sweeney's, Lenny Harris's of the world, I don't think any of these guys would want to sit for any stretch of time. And not just because it's a stat thing, it's an ego thing, it's just it's a physical thing. You just want to stay on time. You want your timing, you just want to continue the role.
It's like if you take a week off here, I know if ever I take a break after 3 days, maybe it's like, okay,
what's missing?
I got to start moving. I need to go to work. I need to do something right now.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm with you there. I years ago, just when I was a Monday through Friday on air guy at some of the music stations, Monday would roll around and you're like, man, I can't wait. Cannot wait. And it's the same thing here talking Brewers baseball. Okay, we will get into our fantasy football analysis here in just a little bit. And those of you hanging out with us tonight, we appreciate that. If you want to jump in, did you draft a good fantasy team? I was auto-draft. You're going to find out what an auto-draft drafted a particular player, namely me. Well, I'll let you think about it. Matt Stafford and Joe Burrow. You doing cartwheels over that? I guess we'll find out with Stafford in L.A. Well, I don't know.
I wouldn't be mad with that quarterback room.
Really?
I maybe it's just because I'm a bigger Matt Stafford fan than a lot of people. I think he's going to be so good in Los Angeles. That offense already has some really good receivers to pair with him.
Yeah.
Their running game has kind of gone downhill in the past couple years, but Sean McVay is a great coach. I feel like Matt Stafford was the right guy for them to get. That team could end up being one of the best in the NFC.
Yeah, I got a good defense, too, to go along with it. All right, so my running backs, let's see here. Again, this is auto draft. Antonio Gibson, I'm good with that for sure.
Sure.
Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown.
Both of them. Oh. Mm. So you're just loading up, or the computer is loading you up with Rams, huh?
Yes. Yes. The computer must have been a Rams fan or something. Receivers, okay, because I'm still waiting for the stud. Yeah, Antonio Gibson, yeah, I guess leaning in that direction. Stafford, we could debate that. So where is he? There he is, Davante Adams. Nice job, computer pick.
There you go.
Chris Godwin. I'll take it. DJ Moore.
Man, it depends on how good
Tua is, yeah.
Well, not Tua. DJ Moore's in.
Darnold.
I don't know how Darnold is going to be. Is it the reason that he was so bad in New York because of Adam Gase, or is it because he sucks? That's going to be fun.
I think he's got good talent. I think Darnold is good talent. So we'll see. Let's see. Devontae Parker.
I feel like he's been on my breakout list for like 5 straight years.
Yeah. Now this I like. Logan Thomas. Austin Hooper. I really like Logan Thomas. Young Hoku is my kicker, and Rams D. So, yeah, Rams fan is the computer. I would give that a C-.
Yeah, I feel like outside of Devontae, you have a lot of really high-risk players.
Stafford, I'm okay with Stafford, Gibson, Adams, and Logan Thomas. I'm good with those four.
And Young Hoku, he is a very True. Underrated kicker.
True. All right, what you got? So I got I'm giving myself and the computer a C-.
Okay. So I had the third pick. I started. Well, yeah. Let me go position by position like you did. I took Lamar Jackson, and very late in the draft, I could have picked any of the rookie quarterbacks, but I decided to hold off on an investment and get Jameis Winston.
You know what? He slid in most all. He slid in every one of my drafts.
I don't think people realize how good he's going to be. Now,
yeah,
sure,
he's going to throw his picks. He will.
Yeah, but that's the thing is he can see now. 2 years ago, he got LASIK surgery in the offseason. He might actually be able to see the linebackers now.
And you'll have Taysom Hill kind of vulturing a few from him.
Who knows if we ever actually see Michael Thomas, too. With Michael Thomas, that team could be really good.
I think you will. I do think you will see Michael Thomas this season, midseason. Yeah.
To the running back core, with the third pick, I took Derrick Henry. At the turn, I got Clyde Edwards-Alaire.
How many people in this league?
Is this 10. This is a 10-man league.
Okay.
I'm really banking on Edwards-Alaire. I think that he could be really good. I mean, he should have been good last year, but Andy Reid just didn't use him.
And it's probably going to be the same thing. I know people are high on Edwards-Alaire, and he is good talent as well. But, you know, the Chiefs offense, you know who it rolls through. I mean, it just does.
Right.
You know, it's risky. How about that?
It's definitely risky, but I feel like I can kind of take this risk. The rest of my running back core, Kareem Hunt, who could be a nice flex player and also maybe the best handicap in the league. Zach Moss, Buffalo's maybe starting running back. I don't think anyone really knows.
Some are predicting that he will have a bust out, and so I'm okay with Moss.
My last running back was Michael Carter, the Jets' maybe starter.
There's your lottery ticket. There's your dice roll. I like it.
To the wide receiver core, I got DK Metcalf and Adam Thielen starting.
Studs.
I was shocked that I got both of them. The rest of my receivers are kind of interesting, very high risk. Like Odell Beckham Jr., if he can come back from his knee injury, he did look pretty good last year.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster, will he benefit from having Big Ben back? I think it's very, very possible. Hollywood Brown, I took pretty late, actually. His draft value is very low. And I like double dipping with having Lamar Jackson as my quarterback. That's always fun. Michael Pittman Jr. of the Colts. I'm very curious to see what Carson Wentz is going to do in Indy.
Looks like he's the number one. I mean, T.Y. Hilton just, yeah, his better days are way behind him. I'm super high on Pittman Jr.
I think that could be another lottery pick that pays off. My tight end, I took Mike Gesicki. I think Tua's going to have to utilize his tight ends, even though he does have a pretty decent wide receiver core.
Had a great season last year, Gesicki, yes.
I think he could be pretty good. Then defense, I took the Steelers, and kicker, I took Ryan Succop of the Buccaneers. I think I give myself probably a B. I think that they're
a little bit better than that, B plus.
Okay.
Now, things could really drop right for you. that team could end up an A or A minus.
But it also could absolutely end up a D or a D minus.
I don't know about that low. I don't know. You've given yourself enough there. I don't think it's going to dip down to the D range.
I think
you did a good job.
Picks like 3 through 6, I was shocked at who was still available for me at the board. And I think that helped me in my draft.
All part of Fantasy Football Weekly. It's our conversation we have once a year in a blowout game. This is a fun blowout game, too. 10-0 Brewers get the win. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. And we're going to hear from Craig Counsell right now as we dip into the scoop from the skipper here, and he's got to be pretty pleased, and he's got to be really, really happy with Eric Lauer's performance tonight. 7 shutout innings for the Brewers left-hander. Here's Craig Counsell.
Craig, what's it been like to watch Eric Lauer's evolving into such a big part of your pitching staff? He just seems to get better and better as the season goes.
Well, tonight was really special. I thought he was excellent tonight. They just in complete command of the game, complete control of the hitters, complete control of counts, executed, a lot of pitches tonight. So it was a great start by Eric. And, he's throwing the ball well. I thought he was, almost overpowering at times tonight. It was just a really good start.
What does it do for the club to get an outing like that from him, an outing like Hauser gave you, sort of from the – I don't know, we call it the back end of the rotation. I know you don't think about it like that, but just from throughout the rotation, get outings like that.
Yeah, I mean, our success is, on our entire pitching staff, and these guys are taking the ball the same number of times that, Brandon and Corbin and Freddie are, and, it's meaningful. So they're pitching good games. They're getting deep into games. And it's obviously means a lot, and they're putting up more most importantly zeros, and so it's those lead to wins. So they're doing their part. Eric's had 2 straight starts going through 7 innings. That's any starter that's significant. So job well done.
What went into the decision to have him hit for himself there with the bases loaded in the 6th? Was that a back and forth thing, or did you know the whole way you were going to have him hit for himself?
No, he was going to hit there. I just thought the way he'd been pitching, he was the candidate to get the seventh inning out. So he had just pitched so well that he was going to get through that inning, and he did.
Craig, we've talked a lot about really good at one in that third inning. He was behind 0-2 right away and then went 9 pitches before he doubled.
Yeah, that was the at-bat of the game. It's kind of the at-bat I circled as the at-bat of the game. Staying in it, a spot where Eske knew he had to make contact and fell behind. Nola made a couple good pitches, I thought, to get ahead in the count. And then Eske just said, I'm putting the ball in play. And he battled to do it. And that's you saw it, I think. And he didn't do anything great with it. Just hit a ball, put a ball in play, but it did something for him. He got rewarded for it.
Craig, in a long inning like that with 37 pitches, how important is it to cash in on innings like that, like Escobar did, and then Yelly after him?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. we had done, you know, you take a piece of him when you do that, but he'd thrown so few pitches the two innings before that it's not like his pitch count was out of control after that if he gets through that inning. So the game's in good shape, even, you know, if he puts up, just gives up one or whatever there, even if we forced a long inning. So it was good to cash in there for sure. You know, eventually it made them go to their bullpen a little earlier because we had a lead. And that worked out well later in the game. So it's always important, I think, to cash in and to play with a lead against a good starter.
Craig, you've said all along that you know, Yelich was going to get it going and has been contributing, but it seems now like he's maybe a little easier on himself. He's not as down on what's happening. How much of how good is that for the manager to see when a guy is just almost giving himself a break, it seems right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we always, you know, combine performance and body language and we often do it, right? And I, you know, everybody here wants to do their jobs well. That's, you know, I think everybody that comes to work wants to do their job well. And Christian's no different than that. And we shouldn't, I don't think we should expect him to be different than that. So he wants to do his job well. And it means something to him to do his job well. And it means something to him when he doesn't feel like he's doing his job well. So that's okay. You know, sometimes you go through stretches where it's, you're just not doing your job well. And that's, you know, he doesn't like it. I don't like it. We don't like it. I don't do my job well some days. I don't like it. But I think he feels good about it now. And that's a good thing for everybody.
Craig, the majority of the hits were with two strikes today too. I mean, what does that say about the approaches of putting the ball in play in those counts?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that's how we've done it a lot this year, but because there's, you know, it's not always great to hit with two strikes, but it does feel like tough at bats. You know, mean you're fouling off some pitches with guys and running kind of some deep counts, especially with relievers. That has been a trait for us, it feels like. And you know, we've done a good job of it. And it's just making the guy finish you and spoil it some good pitches and maybe getting a little better one to hit.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
2-2. Escobar in the air, left field, slicing. McCutcheon, can I get there? Bounces up into the stands for a ground rule double. That'll score two, and the Brewers strike first.
Boy, what an at bat for Eduardo Escobar. Outstanding work.
Yeah, Craig, Council circled that one as a big AB in this 10-0 Brewers victory. You just heard it there on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Part of that AB was down 0-2, and part of it was the nine pitches that he faced. And that's why Craig Council circled it as the big AB in the game. And that's the ABC audio video play of the game in our minds. So putting the ball in play, and I thought it was a great question by Sophia Minert of Bally Sports Wisconsin. Are we starting to get it now collectively? I think we are. Evan, and here's where I'm going with this. Somebody that was cool in the room said strikeouts were okay about eight years ago or so. They're just part of the game. Yeah, we're going to strike out a lot, but boy, oh boy, look at these home runs. I can tell you this as a baseball analyst, I will never be okay with strikeouts, ever. I won't be okay with a strikeout in any situation, at any moment, in any game, any time, any year. But what we've been told and what we've been really force-fed is that strikeouts are just part of the game. Go back and listen or read and listen to some of the comments from Mike Schmidt, the Hall of Famer from the Phillies. That dude and I see eye to eye on strikeouts. A lot of these players the past almost a decade now, but I would pinpoint it to about 8 years ago, seem to be okay with strikeouts. And so you get these conversations about getting a ball in play. Yes, Craig Counsell, indeed. I'm right with you right there. Get the ball in play. And he said it seems like they're doing a better job of that. Okay. Yeah. That's where we need to head. That's the direction that baseball and certainly this Brewer squad, once they hit the postseason, needs to get to. Ball's got to get in play. Good things tend to happen when you hit a baseball in this game. Where do the Brewers rank as a team in terms of strikeouts, Evan? I'm going to say they're not great at it, but it does seem better.
So this is interesting, Tim, looking at this. This is after tonight's game, so I don't know. There are probably still some West Coast teams that would affect this. But right now, after tonight's game, the Brewers have 1,283 strikeouts, which ranks sixth in all of baseball. But
as the sixth most?
Sixth most, yes.
Okay.
But in an interesting turn of events, the Brewers are fifth in baseball in walks with 502.
Yeah, so you go deep counts, you go heavy count, and that's going to happen. That's going to inflate both of those outcomes. So in a way, you're right. That's sort of good that they're making these pitchers work, and there's a benefit in that. There is a benefit in that.
I think they've gotten better at working counts, too. Like, how many times in May did we get mad at Christian Yelich for watching a fastball go right down the middle? I don't think he's doing that as much.
A little bit. He does tend to take the first pitch. He does.
That's true.
And opposite of Avi, who just loves first pitches. So, I mean, again, the bottom line is get that ball in play. How often has it been the last 3 or 4 years that Pittsburgh, the San Francisco Giants series, how many just infield singles do these other teams get against this Brewers squad? Starting to see a few more on the Brewers side of things. Why? Because they just get the bat on the ball, get it in play. So there are some good things in that too. And it's improving. I will admit that. So good for you, Craig Counsell. Time for Craig's ride home right now as he is on his way back to Whitefish Bay. And he is, you know, probably happy about a 10-zip victory, probably more happy for Eric Lauer and that performance right there. So, Craig, nice job. But nice job to acknowledge getting balls in play, and I love to hear that. Now, he has said earlier this year, I think one of the pregames, somebody asked him about his kids playing baseball, and he had alluded to bat-to-ball skills. You got a young one in your life and they're into baseball, bat to ball skills, just bat to ball, bat to ball, bat to ball, not swing from the back leg and launch angle and exit velo. It seems a little strong, but it's almost like, you know, we've been snow jobbed into thinking that's okay. Home runs are great. And I get it. I'm not going to complain about a homer. I want that. You're not going to home run. What, even the best home run hitters hit about 40 to 50 a year. That's all. Think about it that way. It does change a game at times. But, you know, just make sure bat to ball. And some of these guys, I mean, you look back at some of the Hall of Famers, I mean, they would strike out, maybe some of them struck out as few as like 50 times a year.
Look no further than Tony Gwynn, his baseball reference page, where I don't think he struck out more than 40 times in a season.
Ever. I mean, that's crazy. But, I mean, Just, I never did buy that strikeout thing, and I think a lot of you guys were with us on that. All right, way late for a break. We're going to hear from Eric Lauer coming up. Just hanging out, just kind of a mellow Tuesday night after a 10-zip Brewers victory. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, as always, here on The Fan.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse, presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
10-zip, Brewers win. I like it. It's a another victory. They even up the series game apiece. A rubber match tomorrow. We'll get to tomorrow's preview in just a second. Let's get some more reaction, and we'll go to, at 799-1250, we'll go to John. John, you're next up here on The Fan.
Hey, Tim, how you doing tonight?
Hey, John, I got to say, you're more than gracious with your ticket deal. I mean, I'm overjoyed with that, John. I appreciate that.
I'll send them through the app.
Is a great birthday present, I will say that.
Hey, a few things. This is a great show tonight. Tom, what a great call talking
yes.
about how your parents follow teams and then you as young kids, you know, follow the teams that your parents like, even if it's not, if you're out of state, you still follow your teams. That was really a great call. I agree with you. I could have listened to you guys talk for like an hour over that conversation.
Yeah, with your kids, they do adopt a lot of what you do and the upbringing of them. But I tried to make sure there was an objectivity involved. He had my son had all sorts of jerseys and had hats and stuff from the Colts to the Raiders to the Cowboys to the Packers. And then he had, he didn't get Cubs and Cardinals stuff. I can promise you that.
Right. Thank God you taught him well. Hey, I wanted to tell you a couple things. It's so funny you were talking about base running, like Kane, getting thrown out,
yep.
Picked off. I was just thinking, was it not Urias over the weekend with the Cardinals? And I think the other person before that was Adames. And during those games, I was thinking, like, that's just unacceptable. You can't have that. Like, in the playoffs, say you're facing, the Dodgers, like, what is it, Walker Buehler, Scherzer, mm-hmm. Kershaw, you're taking an at-bat out of the batter's hand, and suddenly, you don't have that at-bat because someone got picked off. Well, later
few days ago, John, they gave up a full inning of offense with three outs on the base pass.
Exactly, and that's just unacceptable. I mean, you can't do that if you're going to play playoff baseball. Just like with Grisham in right field, those little nuances in the game when it comes to playoff baseball that really makes a difference. That's the thing that I like about you, Tim. You teach us those finer points. They really do matter. To the casual fan, they probably just figure, oh, it's an error, oh, he got picked off. But that's mm-hmm. the difference between that extra run that you either win or you lose by. And with Grisham, if he doesn't let that ball get, past him, it's still a 3-3 game against Washington in the seventh inning. We still have a chance. But that error ended up, opening up the floodgates. So I think it's a really good awareness for baseball fans. In closing, I just wanted to ask you, who takes that responsibility, Tim? Like, will counsel talk to them, or is it the, Barry and the third base coach?
Yes.
Like, they don't just let that go. Can you kind of give us a little insight, how they talk to the baseball, the guy that made the out? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks again, Tim.
You got it. No, thank you, John. I appreciate that. It goes to what I would say the coaching group, who's ever the base running coach on a particular team. It goes to the, just like at your work. I mean, there's a pecking order, I would imagine, and the department head. If you're over in this department, well, then you get the day-to-day activities or guidance or discipline, as it were, from your department head. Same deal here. And if it becomes a major problem, I would think Craig Counsell will have a little conversation. It's something that I will refer to as they need to clean that up. I don't see a ton of that in the postseason. again, we're still getting used to this postseason thing as Brewers fans. It's kind of cool, four consecutive years, but you can't be giving away outs like that against really big-time pitchers, because they'll take advantage of it, and they'll say, hey, cool. Yeah, that's one less batter I got to get out. I mean, it's that simple. So, you know, you can't get thrown out stretching a single to a double by 8 to 10 feet. I mean, I get a bang-bang play. I get a certain, I understand a certain situation that will allow it to be more aggressive. To get to third, for example, with just one out. Yeah, I mean, that may be worth the gamble there, because then a sack fly will knock you in. So you just have to clean it up. NFL coaches will say, even after a big-time victory, Matt LaFleur is going to say this and has said this, there's still some things we got to improve on, even though you just rolled 43-10. Same deal here. I don't want to see it. I've said it before when, you know, a game's on the line. You remember some of the difficulties that Ricky Weeks had defensively at second base. Game on the line. It's you know, final batter, whatever it might have been. I recall saying, oh, man, don't hit it to Ricky. Don't hit it to Ricky. Don't hit it to Ricky. Luis Urias might have been in that situation earlier this year where it's like, oh, man, don't hit the Louis. He's going to airmail it. So, I mean, those little things you got to just clean up. And certainly the base running. That to me is a lot of mental. That to me is a lot of field awareness. That's a lot of situational awareness. You got to know the situation. Some of these guys got to think about it a little bit more than others. I mean, some guys have it built in. Say a ground ball, there's a certain timing mechanism that you've got just instilled into the good ones. They understand how hard the ball is hit. They understand how fast the runner is because they're just in tune with that stuff. All that goes into it. It's not just barbaric throw the ball and hit the ball in baseball. You want to get one more in here before we hear from Eric?
Yeah, let's get to Ryan and Valders.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Tim. Hey, just a couple things here. I know you were talking ball bat skills and you were talking base running on a base pass, and you, I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, when you get to be playoff baseball like we're going to be getting into here, those are going to be the things that ultimately are going to decide a series. And ultimately, I mean, I really feel we're a World Series caliber team, but we have to be better on the bases and we have to be better decision makers. But your first caller is the one thing I wanted to hit on, Tim. And I was at the game tonight, and your first caller just got me thinking. I just got home, and I'm, Tim, I want to ask you a question. Where were you back in 1990, late 1990s, when the whole stadium fiasco was going on? Because if you were like me, I think we're probably around the same age. I'm thinking so, but I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. But I can remember sitting up in bed, you know, watching a George Petak vote, mm-hmm, was so close to seeing the Brewers leave Milwaukee. And that was such a crazy time in my life. And now my kids are old enough to maybe they didn't experience that. And I'll tell you something, I don't ever want my kids to experience what I did back in the late 90s. And we are so lucky and so proud to have the Brewers that you're talking about your caps. And I could do the same things with all my different logos and all those things. And a credit to your first caller to bring back all those memories, because I'll tell you something. I mean, we have to just be very proud of the fact that we're going to be going to the playoffs for four consecutive years. And I just wonder where you were back in those days, what you were thinking like I was thinking back then.
Yeah. That's a great question. And I was in the late 90s, I was doing country radio. So I was programming a country radio station, having a blast. I was, but still we were, you know, out at a county fair or something. And we're like, Richie Sexton, what? There's a trade, and you know, all of those things. But the first thing I thought of when I realized that it was a possibility that the Milwaukee would lose the Brewers, was I wondered, you know, how Braves fans felt. But there wasn't as long of a tradition with the Braves in town as there was at that time with the Brewers. I mean, the Brewers were going to be 30 years old. How long were the Braves in town? It wasn't anywhere near that. So, but still, same thing. There were a lot of passionate Milwaukee Braves fans that literally lost their favorite team. I couldn't imagine. You wake up in the morning or the following season, and it's the Charlotte Brewers. And I was trying to figure out, well, do I follow the Brewers down in Charlotte, or do I pick another team? And so I was eyeballing at that time, because I knew it was going to be close. At that time, I was eyeballing probably the White Sox, just based on proximity, because it wasn't going to be on the north side. I couldn't imagine. Now, you guys know how passionate we are as Brewers fans. I mean, there's more just like me. There's thousands of them. I couldn't imagine. I'm telling you, Ryan, I was fearing that politics and money got in the way of this thing. And it was a sad time. It was a very scary time.
I remember, Tim, WTMJ, listening to all the announcers on WTMJ in the morning and in the afternoon, how they were, it was so politicized, and it was like, it was really real that we were potentially going to lose our Brewers. And it got to a point where I didn't ever think it would ever get to a point where I'd ever see what we're seeing the last 4 years. And that's why when you see a walk-off grand slam on Sunday and you see all the great things that are happening, you pinch yourself, you think, are you really going to see a Brewers in a World Series? Well, I'll tell you something. The Brewers in a World Series is bigger than the Bucks winning an NBA championship, in my mind. So thanks for the call, and I thank you for everything you do doing this show, because I'll tell you, it brings back a lot of memories. So thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that very much. That's a great question, Evan. We need to ponder that idea. Which is bigger? Bucks NBA title or Brewers World Series title?
I mean, come on.
I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. But
the Brewers were my first love. Like, I went to games at County Stadium when I was probably 2 years old, and it's been in my blood literally since then. But the Bucks, there was just something special about having a homegrown kid that believes in you, believes in the city and the franchise, and you kind of get over all of the doubters and the naysayers. You go against these super teams and take them down. It was such a special run, but I think I would probably have to go with a Brewers ring.
Based on just, you know, fan participation, attendance. Now, again, we have to remember there's far less games in basketball, about half the amount as baseball. I think you need to consider, you know, the Brewers radio network versus the Bucks radio network. I mean, it's just not a comparison around the state. I mean, you're looking at a ton, probably 5 to 10 times more stations doing the Brewers than the Bucks. And I've always wondered why it was so few, but okay, I'm not the program director up north, but that is a good question. How about this? They're just great. both of them. How about
yeah?
Milwaukee,
why does it have to be a competition? Yeah. Let's just enjoy our teams, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear the Wendy's Big Show already doing it right now. 414-799-1250. Which is bigger? The Bucks winning the title? I could see that happening. I've been there, too. I've done that stuff. All right, Eric Lauer here. 7 innings just shutting down the Philadelphia Phillies after they put up 12 runs, hitting 6 home runs yesterday. He shuts them down through 7 scoreless and drops his ERA to 3.18. It's almost embarrassment of riches with this starting rotation. It really is, guys. Let's get a couple of minutes in from the Brewers left-hander.
It was nice. It was definitely nice, especially after yesterday, to be able to jump on them a little bit. And I mean, that's the cool thing about baseball is every day is its own day, and every pitch is its own pitch. So you gotta always throw the next one, and it's you can't look at the past too long.
In the bottom of the sixth, I mean, the game is still very much in the balance there, but they send Vogelbach into the on-deck circle. What does it mean to get a chance to hit there and then pitch another inning? It's sort of a vote of confidence, is it not?
Definitely, yeah. It's definitely uplifting to know that we believe we're in a position to where I can go out there and continue to throw, and that I haven't struggled or anything to an extent to where we think that there needs to be a change. But it makes you feel good just as a pitcher, knowing that you get to hit in that kind of spot, and you're not going to get pinch hit for because you're throwing the ball well. It was a little weird walking out there and getting booed because Vogie was supposed to hit. That was a little odd for me, but I took it with a grain of salt. I understand they wanted to see him, but come on.
Well, it wasn't him booing you, was it?
No, it wasn't him booing me. No, it was some random people. Everybody cheered when he went out there. Everybody obviously wants to see him hit another grand slam. I mean, it's a cool opportunity. So, but I was like, hey, let me try to hit a grand slam. Give me a chance.
I'm guessing an RBI walk is just fine, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take what I can get.
You had a nice year overall, but these last two starts in particular, what's been working for you in these two starts this month so far?
I think these last two have been good. Just my ability to throw the ball in the zone and keep guys off balance. I think I've been driving really well to the plate, and my direction and everything's been good. So that to me is kind of what I need to focus on to make sure that everything's coming out correctly. Because from there on out, it's pretty much muscle memory on the top side. But if my direction gets off, or if I start spinning a little too much, I can get out of whack, and I start obviously missing the zone a lot more. So I'm better when I'm in the zone for sure.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
There he is, Eric Lauer, the Kent State product. Spun a good one tonight, that's for sure. 7 shutout innings as the Brewers get a 10-0 victory. Their 17th shutout on the season. That's crazy. I mean, that is that's just something special right there. We didn't need to do a special list. We really do. And just all the special sort of natured things that have happened this year. And more to come.
We're used to this team getting shut out 19 times every season.
Right. But there's still more moments to come. There are. And I don't know in what fashion they're going to be. You don't. We don't. I don't even think they know. They just happen. And there's more to come, that's for sure. Speaking of which, game 3 of this 3-game set tomorrow. It'd be nice for the Brewers to take this series and at least minimize the damage that the Philadelphia Phillies have conveyed to the Brewers here through, well, the first 5 games of this head-to-head. But Brewers come back, and at least they can say they've got this one, and with a win tomorrow, take the series. Pitching matchups, Mr. Heffelfinger.
Yeah, it'll be Kyle Gibson, the trade deadline acquisition for the Phillies. 10-6 with a 3.3 ERA on the mound for them, going up against young Freddy Peralta, 9-4 with a 2.7 ERA, looking to bounce back after two straight just not really great starts in that IL stint. Tomorrow's a big game for him.
It really is, and I think he needs a little length. He needs to get back to what he's been doing essentially the whole season. And, you know, going just 2 innings last time, you could get 6. Get a quality start. How's that? Keep his team in the ball game. So there you go. First pitch, 6:40. After the last pitch, you make the switch right here. We'll talk some Brewers baseball, among other things. Boy, we were all over the road tonight. That's okay. That's fun. We'll take that.
Pella, you were late for work today.
And I was late for work. I think in 16 years I can count
maybe three times. For sure, two. I don't even know if I can get to three. So we'll go with 2.5. How about that? I can't rule it out that I won't be late again in the next 7 years.
So that's fair.
That's a good average. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Once again, the final 10-0. Brewers get the victory. And for Evan Heffelfinger, my name is Tim Allen. Easy to smile, Milwaukee, after this one. The world will smile back. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.